Short, Fast, Loud on Triple J with Josh. Jesus Piece right there with a track called Oppressor. And I've spun that one particularly because I discovered this band through a particular website and through a particular person. And it's now my absolute pleasure to say that person sitting across from me, Sonny from Hate56, my friend. How are you doing?
I am great. How are you?
Dude, I'm so stoked you're in the studio. You have like literally no idea, you know. As I said, you've kind of become this, you know, strange is probably the wrong word, but you've become a strange part of the fabric of the hardcore community. And it's something that, like, you know, with the position that I have, I get to see a lot of it. And so it's really, really sick that we can make this happen. So I'm going
to I'm honored to be here.
Now, for, you know, you've been in the country for about 48 hours. You're doing running around with a whole bunch of American and Australian bands. How is your Australian experience been so far?
It's been good. I got in 2 days ago. I got picked up from the airport, and so I flew from the US to Sydney and then caught a connecting flight to Adelaide. Got picked up from the airport, went straight to the ocean, jumped in the water. It was amazing because it's really cold back home.
Yep.
And then had a couple hours to kill, and then went to the show, and it was great. And then yesterday we had a 9-hour drive to Melbourne, and didn't get to see much.
It's a little bit of a quiet drive. That
quiet one. Drive, yeah. It was like 9 hours, so it was a little grueling. We all kind of just like slept, so we haven't seen much.
Mm.
The perception back home is that everything is on fire here. I'm not trying to downplay what's happening, because I'm sure there's areas that are really bad. But the perception back home is that every city here is in flames and like buildings are on fire. So my parents are like, "Are you okay?" I'm like, "It's just smoggy and hazy today in Melbourne, and I'm sure if I go out in certain other places, it's going to be really bad." But I'm very excited to be here, and it's been great so far. I have about like 6 days left, I think, 6 or 7 days. So I'm trying to see as much as I can before I got to go back to the U.S.
All right. For those uninitiated, if you had to sum up exactly what Hate56 is to start things off, how would you describe it to someone who doesn't know?
So there's a lot of ways of describing it. Lately, I've been thinking about it as like a community bullhorn in an abstract sense.
Makes sense.
So what it is it's a website that I've been running for over 10 years now, where I travel. Now I'm traveling, but before I was just filming local hardcore punk metal bands and posting the videos online and just wash, rinse, repeat, just doing that over and over again. So it's grown to become this platform now where, I mean, there's about 75,000 Instagram followers, 75,000 YouTube subscribers. People use Hate56 as a way to figure out what bands are good or what bands to check out. Because it's, for me, I think the best way to experience a band is seeing them live. Listening to a record is great, but you can't really capture the essence of a band on vinyl. And in my opinion, like, music is meant to be experienced live and heard in a room with other people, and like, it's a communal thing. So for me, it's always been about capturing that that emotion live. And I mean, a video is never going to replace being at the show, but the video is a way of, you know, capturing some approximation to it. So it's become this resource for people where, you know, I'm now traveling all over the place, filming bands, posting them. And once I post a band, all these people discover that band from that video. Then they go see them the next time. They go buy their merch. And it's become a platform, essentially, for connecting people and bands together.
That's sick. Yeah. That's a very good way
and
to
I,
sum
and
it
I say it's community. It's a community bullhorn, because I'll film any band. I'll film a big band on tour. I'll film a band playing their first show in a small basement. I'll give every band the same attention to detail as I would anyone else. And so I want Hate56 to be a platform that any band can use to find a wider audience. And I've basically done a lot of work to democratize the site. So I don't know if we'll go into that later, but it's in many ways, the site is controlled by viewers who want to see certain content or see it produced in a certain way.
Yeah. And that's the sick thing about like the punk and hardcore community, is they love being involved in that sort of stuff. And I was saying to you earlier, like, I was reading an interview you did with an Australian media outlet about 2 years ago. And you were saying, you know, it'd be cool if it kind of grows to this point where you could come to Australia and film Australian bands. And, you know, 2 years later.
Yeah, 2 years later, it works. So
yeah,
it's great.
Here you are. And yeah, like you said, it's going to be sick to see. I couldn't remember. Is there any Australian content on there at the moment?
I don't think any maybe one Australian band came to the U.S. and I filmed them. That might be a lie, though. It's either one or zero.
Yeah. So we're about to change that.
I'm
very, very excited for that. Yeah. What was the impetus behind starting Hate56? Like, how did it begin?
So I started collecting VHS tapes of bands back in, like, late 90s, early 2000s. I was really into, and I still am, into Rage Against the Machine. Anyone who follows me knows that I'm just, like, obsessed with that band.
A little bit.
So it started out just by finding those VHS tapes at record stores or at the mall, And they had a very devoted following of people who would film their shows and distribute those recordings. So I kind of fell into that world of just falling in love with live recordings of that band and getting into this like online trading community where people would just trade different recordings, and that's how you grew your collection. So that was, you know, late middle school. I was probably like 13, 14. And then by the time I was 15 in high school, that's when I was discovering like punk and all the kids in my school. Well, not, you know, there were bands in my school that were playing local shows. So I was like, oh, let me fall into this. You know, I want to explore that world. And it became, I was sort of faced with this decision. Like, I want to be involved somehow. I'm not musically inclined. I don't want to play. I could write a zine, but I don't want to do that. So I kind of just naturally fell in love with the camera. Back then I was a BMX rider, and I still am. So I was also filming BMX. So for me, I thought the camera would be a tool to document my friends' bands and be a way to contribute back to the scene that I was falling in love with. So that's how it started. It started out by just being obsessed with live recordings from a very specific band to then wanting to be involved in a community and seeing the camera as a way to you know, facilitate that involvement.
But it started with a ska band, though, didn't it?
So I posted the story.
There's a lack of ska on Hate 5-6.
There's a lack of ska. Yeah, I mean, so I was filming. So again, this was like 2000, 2001. I was 14, 15. So I was filming local bands for my school, which would have been ska bands, really bad punk bands, people just starting metal and hardcore. But it started out with just that. And then my brother took me to Ozfest 2001, and that's when I saw Hatebreed, and I was like, yo, what is this? And then that was one of the ways I discovered hardcore. Yeah. It was sort of like a confluence of a couple things, but that's how I eventually like found hardcore. I was like, oh, let me keep filming. I mean, I did take a break for a while, and we can get into that, but then I got back into it, and I was like, oh, the camera. When I got back into it in around 2007, 2008, that's when online video was becoming viable. So I finally had a way of taking the work I was doing and showcasing it to people.
Yeah.
And that's when it was like, oh, it took 10 years, but it became a thing.
Yeah.
And that's how I'm here now.
Nice, nice. Well, yeah, we're going to dig in just a little bit deeper on you personally and your experiences in punk and hardcore. First, we're going to go to a couple of tracks. So I've asked you to program some punk and hardcore to be part of this show. And the first one was some of your favorite sets, and you've chosen some of your favorite sets from this year, which I think is a great way. Well, last year now, but over the last 12 months. We're going to start, though, with Have Heart and Machinist, because that's a banger of a song. But tell me about your experiences filming the Have Heart reunion set.
Yeah, so let me back up a little bit. I mean, I saw Have Heart a bunch in the late 2000s before they broke up, and I did not get a chance to film their last show because they had a whole film crew, and I tried to get in, and they wouldn't let me in. It was like a big thing. I was at the show, but I was kind of sitting in the back, like, you know, pouting. So I was like, I gotta sit in the crowd. I can't film it. So fast forward 10 years, I had the opportunity to film 6 of the 8 shows, and it was a full circle moment for me. For a non-fest, it was one of those shows were some of the biggest things I'll ever attend.
Mm.
The second show in particular in Boston was outside, and there were about 10,000 people there.
Yeah.
And for a show that's not a fest, that's
the footage of it was insane.
Yeah. And so I'm starting to go through and edit the footage now, and it's just a trip to be able to like relive it.
Okay.
And I'm very excited to share this with everyone in the next couple months, because it's going to be – I think this will be some of my most watched videos ever. So
yeah.
I'm a little nervous, but I'm putting as much effort into, you know, making sure that these are perfect as possible.
Well, I guess that's the other thing as well. Because, yeah, like I say the footage was amazing. I'm talking about footage, you know, like people posting Instagram stories and whatnot.
Yeah.
So it's like seeing it actually in Hate 5-6
I had quite a different experience. 4 or 5 camera angles. I hired a sound engineer to multi-track everything. So everything, like I did not leave a stone unturned. I just basically went in and put as much of my resources as I could into it. And I think once they drop, it's gonna turn people's heads.
Hell yeah. All right, well, we're gonna come back right after this and dig a little bit deeper. You're on Sure Fast Light on Triple J. We've got Sonny from Hate 5-6 in the studio having a chat, starting things off with some Have Heart. This is Machinist. Short, Fast, Loud on Triple J with Josh, being joined by Sonny from Hate 5-6. A couple of tracks right there from some of Sonny's favorite sets over the last 12 months. We had Frail Body just then, All Else Failed in before that, and of course, Have Heart at the top. Sonny, like I said, I wanted to get a little bit deep with you personally now, and I guess you've kind of mentioned a little bits and pieces, but what can you tell me about the first time you remember really experiencing the alternative scene?
So I got to, let me think about this. So my older brother, back in the early 90s, he, I don't know if they had it here, but basically back then, this is obviously before the internet, this is maybe like 92 to 94, before internet was as big as it is now. Mm. So in the US at least, they had these mail order things. So you would mail $1 and they'd, you can pick 10 CDs from a catalog. And it was a little bit of a scam because they would send you the 10 and then they would bill you later. But they get you in by telling you, oh, for one U.S. dollar, you'll get 10 CDs.
Yeah.
So he ended up getting like Dr. Dre, The Chronic, Soundgarden, James Brown, Jimi Hendrix. He got like a whole wide array of music, Rage Against the Machine. And that's how I first fell in love with music. And it was not just one particular genre. It was just across the board. And I remember we would just sit there and listen to that stuff. And that's how I first fell in love with music. Fast forward to like 95, 96. I remember just sitting with my older sister and we would just record songs off the radio. Because again, this is before MP3s and before having a way of like saving these songs. So yeah. We'd just sit and record songs off the radio to cassettes and just play it back. And again, so like I was talking about around early 2000s, I was starting to go to local punk and hardcore shows in my high school, and that's sort of how I fell into that. Mm. Around that same time, my older brother took me to Ozfest 2001. I saw like Black Sabbath and everything, and on the side stage was Hatebreed, and I was like, what is this? And that was probably the first like legit hardcore band I saw. Mm. Not to downplay the local bands I was seeing, but like seeing Hatebreed at that time was like incredible.
Yeah.
The question I get a lot is, how did I discover hardcore? Because, I mean, there's different ways you can fall into hardcore. You can come through the like the punk rock route. Mm. You know, people hear Minor Threat, and then they kind of, you know, that's how they discover the heavier stuff. Other people come from metal or whatever. For me, again, I was obsessed with Rage Against the Machine recordings, and then I was researching what other bands were related. So Zach was in Inside Out, and then I was like, oh, what is this? And then from Inside Out, I found out about 108 and all the other bands related to Inside Out. So it was a combination of, going to shows and then also just researching related bands given, like, the more mainstream artists that I was already listening to.
Yeah. No, I dig that. I dig that a lot. And then was there a specific moment that you remember that really made it feel like this was the scene for you? Like, there was a particular show or a particular speech or particularly something that just kind of, like, struck home and made you feel like this is where I belong?
It wasn't a particular moment. I think when I was filming those local bands, a lot of them were just close friends of mine because they were, again, from my school. Mm. So I just going to every weekend going to shows with them and filming their sets, I quickly realized that, oh, going to shows is a mini like family reunion. I mean, that's a cliche thing to say, but it's very true.
Yeah.
And you know, my parents are like, why do you got to go to these shows every weekend? It's like, well, like it's bringing all of my friends together. And at the end of the day, that's what's important, spending time with people that you care about. Hmm. So pretty early on, just going to these shows, I realized, oh, it's sort of going to shows. It's like a built-in way of just seeing your friends and meeting new people. So it wasn't a particular moment. It was just a matter of going to a couple shows and realizing, oh, like this is an environment that I really want to keep being a part of.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. And then, you know, like this is your 13th year doing Hate 5-6 as it was around 2007. Like I said, you were kind of doing it beforehand, but like through all this time, you know, you've really, you know, you would have seen the scene ebb and flow as it always will. And, you know, I guess that kind of leads into how have you viewed the current political climate, as it were, kind of affect how the scene is working?
In the U.S. at least?
Yeah, in the U.S.
Yeah, so again, everyone, when Trump was elected, people were like, oh, at least it's going to create all this great political music. And I'm honestly still waiting to see that.
Fair.
I'm not seeing as much political music, but I am seeing more conversations that are people having about political issues. So I think that is a silver lining in all of this. People are, at least in the last couple of years, people are more willing to talk about issues, whether it's LGBTQ issues or Black Lives Matter. People are no longer afraid to talk about that, whether it's on Twitter or have speeches at shows. Because before that, people were sort of just in their own bubble. Like, I don't need to talk about this stuff. Like, it doesn't affect me. Mm. But now it's at a point where you can't ignore it anymore. You turn on the news, you're going to see something that's related to, you know, there's so much that you just can't turn away from it anymore. Mm. So I think that in the last couple of years, for sure, there's been a shift in public dialogue. And you are seeing that reflected in the music as well. I mean, now there's definitely more bands that have people of color or have transgender people or non-white males in the band. Mm. You know, so I think that on the whole, there has been a shift. And I think it's great. I think it's great to have these different voices and these different perspectives in hardcore and punk.
Yeah. Yeah, hell yeah. And you know, as you said, Rage Against the Machine have been part of your life since the beginning, and they're at the top of the political statements, you know, both in their music and in between songs. I mean, that's something that Zach was very, very well known for. And you know, now we're experiencing them coming back. And I was curious what your feelings are in regards to Rage coming back and how you think it's going to go.
I've been waiting many years for this.
I figured.
I literally have a Google alert for Rage Against Machine. So anytime Rage Against Machine has been mentioned online, I would get immediate like a notification. Mm. So for the last like 7-8 years, I just got all these nonsense mentions. And then finally, I had heard a couple days before that they were coming back together and I couldn't believe it. Mm. And when it was finally confirmed, I just sobbed. I just cried. And so I think it's been a long time coming for sure. A lot of people have concerns and doubts about it, but they've never compromised on what their mission is.
Yeah.
And their mission is to, you know, broadcast a certain, they're broadcasting a certain message to a wide audience. Mm. And that means having to play mainstream outlets. Mm. And that's just the nature of the beast. And like political work isn't always clean. Mm. It's not black and white. There's gray area. And I think people like clean solutions. So the natural inclination now is just to be like, oh, why are they playing this show? Why aren't they playing for $2, $5? And why, you know, there's all these criticisms you can have, but at the end of the day, what they are doing with their music and what they are doing with their platform and even the money that they raise, like they have, I mean, they can, in my opinion, they can do whatever they want because I think they've proven that they are changing lives and they are changing opinions by doing so.
No, I like
so, that. So I'm going to be at as many of the shows as I can.
I figured.
I'm like people, right now, I mean, it's January, so we're still a couple of months out, but people are already asking me like, oh, can you come film this show in here? And I'm like, hey, that's the same weekend as Rage, and I can't. So I'm basically not committing to anyone because I'm trying to keep my schedule clear as possible for attending these shows.
Understandably. Yeah. All right, well, we're going to go to your old school prides, a section we have on the show where people kind of talk about the first four songs that got them into punk rock. And so we've got effectively your old school pride now. We're going to start things off with some Hatebreed because you said that's your kind of introduction. Is there any particular reason why we've got I Will Be Heard as the opening track for this?
Yeah, that was one of the songs I remember from that Ozfest show.
Yeah,
it was I Will Be Heard, maybe they like Last Breath, but those two songs was just, they stuck with me. And I mean they're still one of the two of the best Hatebreed songs.
Yeah, fair.
So whenever I think Hatebreed, I just think I Will Be Heard.
Nice. All right, you're on Sure Fast Loud and Triple J with Josh. We got Sunny from Hate56 in the studio having a chat, programming some punk rock, and right now this is Hatebreed, I Will Be Heard.
Now is the time for me to rise. Wipe your spit from my face, wipe these tears from my eyes.
That's 108 right there with Deathbed, Short Fast Loud on Triple J with Josh, Sunny from Hate56, programming some old school pride punk rock there. And 108 is a choice that I thought you'd make because you kind of sort of sung for them recently, didn't you?
Inadvertently, yes. Yeah. Yeah.
How did that come about?
So they I'm good friends with 108. Started out as just a wild fan, and then quickly over the years after filming them a bunch just grew to become friends with them. Mm. So they played in New York in early November, and it was great. They played I think two shows, and after the first show they played a full set, and Rob the singer, he got winded, so he just like left the stage and didn't come back, and the band was just like, we still have three songs, like, and they waited, we waited, and he just didn't come back out. And like, he luckily he was fine, but he just had like I have trouble breathing, so he just like didn't come back. So everyone was like, well, we need someone to sing. And then someone, my friend JC, who's a photographer in the crowd, he's like, Sonny's gonna sing Holy Name. And everyone just like looked at me, and I was like holding the camera because I'm filming, and I'm like, and then someone grabbed the camera and they pushed me like, you're doing this.
Amazing.
Here's the thing, Holy Name is one of the hardest songs to sing.
Fair.
It's so fast.
Yep.
But I had been singing the entire set. I mean, I was filming, but I was singing along because they're one of my favorite bands. Mm. So by that time, I was also winded because I was like filming, singing along, trying to avoid stage divers. And I was like, all right, I got to like make it through this minute and change of Holy Name. And there's a video of it, and I think I did pretty well.
I saw it, and I reckon you did pretty damn
Thank
well.
You. Thank you.
All right, but if we put that just aside for a second, I guess kind of, you know, one of the rounding out questions would be, you know, if you had to pick one experience or moment that would be like your favorite Hate56 moment, what is it?
Oh, my gosh.
Challenge.
Like at a show,
just in general. Like, you know, I mean, you've been retweeted by Tom Morello, I believe. You know, you've had a lot of like odd and strange experiences. So, what would you pick?
Dude, it's so hard. I mean, I've never met any of the people in Rage. Rage is familiar with what Hate56 is.
Yeah.
I've been told from people who knew them. So that in itself is like, oh damn, okay, I've made it. You know, this all started because I was influenced by them, and to know that they are familiar with what I'm doing, like, all right, that's pretty sick.
Yeah.
Dude, honestly, it's even just coming here and meeting people at these shows. People are saying, like, I'm here specifically to see Jesus Peace tonight because I discovered hardcore from a Hate56 video. Like, that is wild.
Yeah.
You know, like I was talking about earlier, like, I got into this because I wanted to, back in the early 2000s, I thought, oh, maybe one day I'll film a band and someone somewhere will find that video and they'll fall in love with the band. And so, like, I'm here now, and that's it. Like, that's the dream, like, come true. I'm all the way in Australia, and people are, like, discovering hardcore, discovering these bands through these videos. Like, that, it's, that type of feedback is just incredible.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I love filming reunion shows. Like, the Have Heart shows were incredible. Like, nothing ever going to top that. Filming the last Bane show was just epic as well. Like, those are really important moments, but for me to get this feedback from people, to know that the videos are actually resonating with them, and they find value in it, like, that is just the best type of feedback I could ask for.
Yeah, I dig that. What's next for Hate56, and where do you see it going next?
That's a great question. I'm trying to film the Rage shows in some capacity. Still TBD. But I'm trying to see if there's any way for me to, like, be either, I don't know, just to work with them in some capacity. It doesn't have to be the normal Hate56, but just some way of working with them. I'm obviously here in Australia now, which has been a bucket list. I'm just trying to travel more than I've done previously. I've been doing this full time for about 2 years now, and I've done more in the last 2 years than ever before. So I'm just trying to keep that momentum going in terms of just the number of bands that I'm filming, the number of videos that I'm uploading, and the quality. I'm just trying to, like, make it bigger and better every year.
Yeah.
But beyond that, like, nothing is major in the works. So for anyone who's not familiar, I'm a former software developer. That's what I was doing before doing Hate56. And I still am. I do a lot of coding for the site. I've built a lot of apps that are available to people who come to the site. So I have a couple of ideas to I don't want to say them because then I don't want to, like, lock myself into it.
Yeah.
But I have a couple of ideas to make it easier for people to connect with each other and in the music world.
Mm.
So I'm slowly working on building some more tools. So basically my life with Hate56 is just, like, filming and editing, uploading, and the other side is, like, writing code and building applications. So I want to spend a lot of 2020 working on that latter half. I mean, I've done a lot of filming in the last year. I want to spend more time this year just, like, working on code and building resources for people.
Yeah. Well, I think it was 700 videos last year, wasn't it?
It was 700, I think, on the news.
Yeah. Yeah. I told someone, it was just in, like, the studios before. I was just kind of like, yeah, no, you filmed, like, 70, you did, like, 700 videos last year. He was just like, how?
Yeah.
That's a lot.
It's a lot.
Sonny, thank you so much for taking the time to have a chat. This has been an absolute blast. I've saved the most important question to last, which is obviously, where is the last Bane video?
Where is it? So it's on a hard drive.
You don't actually
have to. No. This is great. It's on a hard drive. So the story, for anyone who hasn't heard, Bane was do you think most of your viewers know about Bane?
Bane have got a lot of fans in Australia. Like, okay. their last tour here was with Defeater 3 or 4 years ago now, and it was very, very packed. But Bane are an amazing hardcore band.
Yeah.
If you haven't checked out Bane before, do it.
Yeah. One of the most important hardcore bands of all time.
100%.
They played at a sold out 3,000 person show, 2016, their final show. I was there to film it. Someone else was there filming a doc. He's working on a documentary about Bane, not just the last show, but the history of the band. So it's a very comprehensive documentary, and both that production crew and the band have been wanting me to wait to they don't want my full set coming out until the documentary is done.
Fair.
So that's the story. Everyone's coming at me like, oh, why are you? It's like, no, it's not me.
Yeah, and I'm not. I was just joking because the favorite thing on Twitter. At the
it's
moment.
The great
where's
question.
The, where's
yeah.
the main one? Where's the main one?
But I think if you follow the production crew, it's holding these moments, holding the moments. They've been posting a lot recently. I think they're nearing the end of the documentary. So. I'm starting work on the full set final because it's been 3 years. I was like, I'm not going to start this until we get closer to the release date. So the mix is done. The mix is 99% done. My friend Jeremy, who's worked on a lot of videos for me, he's a big Baniac. He mixed it. He's pretty happy with it. We have some minor tweaks, but that's done. And then probably when I get home from this, maybe February, I'm officially going to start working on the edit. I'm talking to the band now about how we want to kick off the release because we have a couple things that we want to do to make it special. So hopefully 2020 we will see the release of the last Bane set. And I think that's going to be up there with Half Heart in terms of the
most watched
videos I'll ever put out. So it's coming. If you're looking, trust me, no one is more frustrated than I am because I want to get this done. To be fair, all the jokes I've created, and the reason there's a lot of Bane set memes, and it's because I knew that if I didn't make fun of myself, someone would beat me to it. Yeah. So I'm constantly making jokes, self-deprecating jokes about it, making memes about it, because one, I can, and two, I'd rather beat someone to the punch, and three, it builds up the mystique about the video so that when this does come out, it's going to be a big, big thing.
I'm so keen. As I said, Sunny, thank you so much. I've let you choose the song we're going to go out with, and the theme for this, I guess, was it's a band that you think we need to keep our eye on this year, and you've chosen Payback. Why are we leading out with Payback?
Yeah, Payback is a band from Philly, the Philadelphia area, back where I'm from. It's a bunch of local guys. Anthony from Jesus Piece, who I'm here with, he's in the band. They're very passionate people. They've been going to shows for a long time, so it's great to see them all doing a band together, and. Philly's needed a band like this for a while. Philly's great. We have shows always coming through, but we don't have, and we have Jesus Piece. We have a lot of, we have bands, but they've only been around for like a year or two. And so what we're seeing now is like in the last couple times I've seen them in the last month and a half, like all these new kids are coming out and they're wearing Payback shirts and they already know the word. So it's just, it feels very organic and it's just great to see people coming together and forming a bond around a specific band. So, I think a lot of people should pay attention to them because I think that what they're doing is really special. And I think that, I think it's something that a lot of people need to hear.
Nice. Sonny, thank you so much. You're on Surefire Slide on Triple J. This is Payback. This track is called The War.